Morning, church. Have you noticed a theme going through the service this morning? Love. Yeah, love. I believe it's the most important word in the English language. And you know something, the author of our Christian faith, he also felt love was the most distinguishing characteristic. There's a prophet called Bob Jones. Some of you may have heard of him, some of you may not have. In 1975, he died of a heart attack. And he went to heaven, and he was standing in a line of people, and Jesus was in front of them. And Jesus asked each person one question: did you learn how to love? Did you learn how to love? That's a hard question, isn't it? What is love? You know, there's thousands of books and songs, movies about love. Did you learn how to love? Amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? The first song we sang was, Christ alone, cornerstone, weak, made strong in the Saviour's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. The second song, I will build my life upon your love. Wow. That's love. Amazing love. That you, my King, would die for me. We used to sing a song when we were younger. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. 1 John 4, verse, I think it's 19, says, we love him because he first loved us. Some translations say, we love because he first loved us. Holy Spirit, we love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Papa. Thank you for your love that just touches us, that love that your presence as it's walking up amongst us, each and every one of us this morning, touching us with your presence, your love. You just care for us so much. You have so much compassion and so much love. And we just want more, Holy Spirit. We want more of you. Whatever we're going through this morning, we ask you to deliver us from it. Deliver us from fear and fill us with your love, that perfect love. Thank you, Papa. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yeah. You know, 1 John 4, and I think it's verse 18, says, perfect love casts out fear. So church, whatever you're going through this morning, Jesus' love can conquer it. A number of years ago, Steph and I were going through a hard time in our marriage. We were fairly newly married. We'd blended a family. We weren't going on for the Lord. And we were just about finished, basically. And so for a last resort, we decided to go to a resort. We went to Vanuatu for a holiday. Just the two of us. We arrived on a Saturday evening. And on the Sunday morning, we got up and Steph said to me, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to go to church. I knew there was only one thing that was going to help our marriage, and that was God. So we went down to the foyer, and the doorman said, "Where would you like to go?" And we said, "We'd like to go to church." And he said, "What church would you like to go to?" Well, I don't know. So he started to rattle off a number of churches, and he came to the Apostolic Church. I said, "That's the one, we'll go to that one." He said, "Well, there's two." He said, "There's this one and there's that one." And I said, "We'll go to that one." And his face lit up and he said, "That's my church." So he called the taxi driver over and he told the taxi driver the instructions to where to go. And about half an hour later, and Vanuatu is not a big place, about half an hour later we arrive at this old, dilapidated church with no windows. And the people meet us at the door and they greet us with their lovely smiling faces, invite us in, and they press down on the wooden seats to see which was the best seat for us. Obviously they were all the same, they were all wood. And we sat there. And the pastor got up to speak, and he spoke in pidgin English. Behind us, there was screaming and wailing and yelling as evil spirits were being cast out of people. We dare not look around. We just look straight ahead. But you know something, church? The love of God hit us like nobody's business. Holy Spirit's presence fell. Tears streamed down our cheeks as we felt His love. And we knew that we had to get right with God. We knew we had to get right with God. You know, we just loved it so much that we went back that evening. Remember, we haven't been going to church for years. And then we went back the following Sunday. And the following Sunday, the pastor said, "I'd like the Māoris from New Zealand to get up and speak." I can't remember what we said. We did get up. But we couldn't teach them anything because they had taught us. They taught us Jesus' love. Anyhow, being brought up amongst the Māori people, I knew that when you spoke, after you spoke, you sang a waiata. So I said, "Well, we're now going to sing." Well, their faces lit up. They obviously hadn't heard me sing. Their faces lit up. So we started this chorus, and the piano man started playing the piano, and the congregation started to sing with us. The only problem was we had mics. Well, fear took over. We got rather nervous, and we sang faster and faster. The congregation stopped singing. The piano man stopped playing. And we just wanted to get it over and done with. We sang so fast, we got off that stage so quickly because of fear. But you know something, church? They loved us, irregardless. They loved us, irregardless. But fear is an amazing thing. Perfect love casts out fear. You know, the acronym for fear is false evidence of fear appearing real. Yeah, false evidence appearing real. Maybe you're afraid of something today. Maybe it looks real, but it's not. What's the acronym for faith? How about feeling afraid? I trust Him. Feeling afraid, I trust Him. You know, I looked up fears and online just to see how many fears there were. There are so many fears that people are afraid of. So many things. There's fear of failure, well, that's an obvious one. But there's also fear of success. There's fear of death. There's fear of loneliness. There's fear of health. There's fear of public speaking. This is not my happy place, let me tell you. Actually, it reminds me of the lion scheduled to fight the Christian in the Colosseum. And the Roman emperor gave the word, and the Christian got put into the Colosseum with the lion, and he charged up to the lion. Yeah, the Christian charged to the lion. And he lifted up the lion's ear flap, and he whispered in his ear. Well, the lion turned around. Just fear shot over his face. He bounded up the steps, jumped over the end of the Colosseum, and was gone. The crowd weren't very happy, but the emperor was totally impressed. So he called for the Christian. He said, "Wow, what an amazing performance. What did you do? What did you say to the lion?" And the Christian said, "I just told him that after the meal he'd have to say a few words." See, the lion had fear, but the Christian had faith. The Christian had faith. Corrie ten Boom says, "Worry or fear does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, but it empties today of its strength." What does Jesus say about fear? The most commandment, the most times a commandment is in the Bible, is actually do not fear. I believe there's 366 times that appears in the Bible. That's one for every day of the year and one for every leap year. Do not fear. So church, are you fearing anything today? Let's take it to him who loves us. Because love conquers fear. Actually, the devil introduces us to fear because it disconnects us from Papa. That's right. It's like cutting off an arm. Bill Johnson says, anytime you agree with a lie, you empower the liar. And you empower that lie. Anytime you agree with that lie, you empower that lie. I don't care what you see. I don't care what you've told. But what he tells you is what's right. What Jesus tells you, what Papa tells you, that's what's right. Love conquers fear. Love conquers fear. So, let's look to the author of our faith, the person who loves us more than anything else, Jesus. Let's look at him. Keep our eyes fixed on him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I'd sing these songs to you guys, but you don't want to hear me. I'm going to end with a true story. I don't know what the time is. But a story that I heard a number of years ago, and I'm going to read it to you. It's a story of kids overcoming fear with love. At a fundraising dinner for a school that serves children with learning disabilities, the father of one of the students delivered a speech that would never be forgotten by all who attended. After extolling the school and its dedicated staff, he offered a question. When not interfered with by outside influences, everything nature does is done with perfection. Yet my son Shay cannot learn things as other children do. He cannot understand things as other children do. Where is the natural order of things in my son? The audience was stilled by the query. The father continued, I believe that when a child like Shay, who was mentally and physically disabled, comes into the world, an opportunity to realize true human nature presents itself, and it comes in the way other people treat that child. Then he told the following story. Shay and I had walked past a park where some boys Shay knew were playing baseball. Shay asked, "Do you think they'll let me play?" I knew that most of the boys would not want someone like Shay on their team. But as a father, I also understood that if my son were allowed to play, it would give him a much-needed sense of belonging and some confidence to be accepted by others, in spite of his handicaps. I approached one of the boys on the field and asked, not expecting much, if Shay could play. The boy looked around for guidance and said, "We're losing by 6 runs, and the game is in the 8th inning. I guess he can be on our team, and we'll try to put him into bat in the 9th inning. Shay struggled over to the team's bench and with a broad smile put on a team shirt. I watched with a small tear in my eye and warmth in my heart. The boy saw my joy at my son being accepted. In the bottom of the 8th inning, Shay's team scored a few runs but was still behind by 3. In the top of the 9th inning, Shay put on a glove and played in the right field. Even though no hits came his way, he was obviously ecstatic just to be in the game and on the field, grinning from ear to ear as I waved to him from the stands. In the bottom of the 9th inning, Shay's team scored again. Now, with 2 outs and the bases loaded, the potential winning one was on base, and Shay was scheduled to be next at bat. At this juncture, do they let Shay bat and give away their chance to win the game? Surprisingly, Shay was given the bat. Everyone knew that a hit was all but impossible, because Shay didn't even know how to hold the bat properly, much less connect with the ball. However, as Shay stepped up to the plate, the pitcher, recognising that the other team was putting winning aside for this moment in Shay's life, moved in a few steps to lob the ball in softly so Shay could at least make contact. The first pitch came and Shay swung clumsily and missed. The pitcher again took a few steps forward to toss the ball softly towards Shay. As the pitch came in, Shay swung at the ball and hit a slow ground ball right back to the pitcher. The game would now be over. The pitcher picked up the soft grounder and could have easily thrown the ball to the first baseman. Shay would have been out and that would have been the end of the game. Instead, the pitcher threw the ball right over the first baseman's head, out of reach of all teammates. "Shay, run to first, run to first." Never in his life had Shay ever run that far, but he made it to first base. He scampered down the baseline, wide-eyed and startled. Everyone yelled, "Run to second, run to second." Catching his breath, Shay awkwardly ran towards second, gleaming and struggling to make it to the base. By the time Shay rounded towards second base, the right fielder had the ball. He was the smallest guy on their team, who now had his first chance to be the hero for his team. He could have thrown the ball to the second baseman for the tag, but he understood the pitcher's intentions, so he too intentionally threw the ball high and far over the third baseman's head. Shay ran toward third base deliriously as the runners ahead of him circled the bases toward home. All were screaming, "Shay, Shay, all the way, Shay!" Shay reached third base because the opposing shortstop ran to help him by turning him in the direction of third base and shouted, "Run to third, Shay, run to third." As Shay rounded third, the boys from both teams and the spectators were on their feet screaming, "Shay, run home. Run home." Shay ran to home, stepped on the plate, and was cheered as the hero who hit the grand slam and won the game for his team. "That day," said the father softly with tears now rolling down his face, "the boys from both teams helped bring a piece of true love and humanity into this world." Shay didn't make it into another summer. He died that winter, having never forgotten being the hero and making me so happy, and coming home and seeing his mother tearfully embrace her little hero of that day. Church, you and I have an opportunity every single day to touch someone's life with love. With love. Let's not pass up on that opportunity. Let's show Jesus' love to this world, because when we show his love, guess what? They can't help but want to come in here to know more about our Saviour, our Lord. Thank you.